Well, good morning.
Good morning.
What a joy it is to be back in Free Christian Church to thank you for your partnership with us in North India in training men and women for the ministry through the seminary that you help to fund. You have been helping us since 2009, and since then, as I told the first service, you have given $107,500 towards faculty sponsorship. Faculty and staff expenses, of course, is one of the largest chunks of expense for any seminary, any Bible college. So I have come to say thank you. Thank you, Pastor John, for this opportunity to share God's word on this special day. And I want to say very special thanks to my brother Ken, who read the scripture, who introduced us to this congregation, as well as Dr. Timothy Tennan, who used to serve as the professor of missions in Gordon-Conwell, now the president of Asbury Seminary. By the way, I don't know if you heard it or not, he's stepping down from being the president. We'll be with them next week in Wilmore, Kentucky. So thank you for praying for India. India is going through a difficult time. The church is going through a difficult time in India. Those who are aware of the news probably know it. So we appreciate your prayers for us. General elections are happening right now. And our election is not done in a day or two. It takes almost 2 months. The way it is structured, the results will come on June 5th. So please pray for us that the Lord will appoint people who will rule the country with justice and peace. May we pray before we look into the word. Father, we thank you for this blessed time. Thank you especially for the privilege we have to worship you in freedom without fearing violence or threats. Lord, may we not take it for granted. And may we be mindful of millions of your children, even on this Lord's Day, could not worship you in freedom. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to listen to your word again and again. And may we be people who not only hear the word, but obey the word. May we be like that man that you told, wise man, wise person, who hears the word and obeys, one like who builds his house upon the rock. So when storms of life come, we will not collapse. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm sure you all are familiar with the name General William Booth, the founder of Salvation Army. Since the beginning of Salvation Army, he had a custom that he would meet with all of his co-workers during Christmas season and spend time with them and teach them and preach to them. In 1910, as he was elderly by then, he could not in person attend a meeting that was organized in London. But he wanted to share something with them, so he decided to send them a telegram. With anticipation, the organizers of the conference opened the telegram and read. There was only one word in the telegram, and the word was O-T-H-E-R-S, others. William Booth correctly understood the heart of the gospel when he started preaching in East London, and so the condition of those who came to hear him broke his heart. He wrote in his diary these words, "When I saw those masses of poor people, so many without God or hope, my whole heart went out to them." And then he coined this phrase, sure most of you have heard it, "Soap, soup, salvation." Beautifully summarizing the gospel. Many in the church stop with soap and soup. And on the other side, many in the church only focus on salvation. Booth understood correctly that the gospel is whole, W-H-O-L-E, whole. It deals with the body and the spirit. And if you leave either of out, it's not full gospel. And of course, you know what he meant by soap, soup, and salvation, I hope. The people that he confronted in East London were in desperate poverty. Many did not have an ability to even wash themselves. So he literally washed people, bathed people. And then he gave them soup because they were desperately hungry. But he didn't stop there because he understood the core of the gospel has to deal with both body and spirit. And Jesus himself defined his mission in these words. Luke 19 and 10, the mission statement of Christ in the context of, I hope all of you know that story of meeting Zacchaeus. He said, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. If Bible is the word of God, then we must take this seriously. After I chose the theme and the message, I checked your website, FCC, and to my pleasant surprise, I found this is in your motto. Do you know the motto of your church? Love God, love others, make disciples. Love God, love others, and make disciples. Are these everyday priorities for us? Oh, it's for the pastor, right? Or it's for the missionaries, right? No. It's for all of us. FCC's motto correctly reflects the priorities of Jesus. He said in Matthew 9:36, when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they were fainted, the old King James translation. They fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. His mission and therefore our mission must be based on what is really important to Jesus. And for Jesus, the priority is people, not things. For people who do not know him, priority is, as the old bumper sticker, I'm sure some of you must have heard that, seen that bumper sticker, he who dies with the most toys. Anybody seen that? That's the philosophy of the world, not our philosophy. If we know the Lord Jesus, we have his priority, and his priority is people. He didn't die for things. He didn't even die for institutions. He died for people. As Billy Graham often used to say, if you were the only person on the face of the earth, if I were the only person on the face of the earth, he would have died for me. He would have died for you. That's how important people are for the Lord Jesus. And Jesus defined these two, his priorities in what is commonly called the two great commandments of Christ. We already heard that read in the installation of the new members of the church. To distinguish between the two, the Bible teachers often use commandment for the first one and commission for the last one, the second one. The commandment is found in Matthew 22, 34, 30. My brother Ken read it to us. A quick summary. When this man comes to him and asks the question, which is the greatest commandment? Jesus goes all the way back to the book of Moses, to Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4, and quoted the scripture that defines, it is often called the statement of faith of the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 6:4 begins with the Hebrew word Shema, and therefore it is known as the Shema. Summarizing it, brief, making it brief, love God. Love God with all of your being. But the uniqueness of Jesus and the gospel is Jesus didn't stop there. All the religions of the world do state that first truth. All the religions of the world. Love God. Serve God. But Jesus didn't stop with that. Even though the scribe asked only for one, Jesus gives him two. He goes to Leviticus 19 next and quotes from Leviticus 19. And forever ties these two things together. Loving God means loving people. To love God, we must love people. Bible alone does this. And from the great commandment flows the great commission, which is found at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. And all of you know what it is. Make disciples of all nations. And all of you know, I hope all of you know, that word nation is a translation of the Koine Greek word ethna, from which we get our English word ethnic groups. So it should best be translated, make disciples of all ethnic groups. In other words, the Lord was saying, I love all and I died for all, therefore you who love me must love all. Very simple. Very simple. Therefore we can say the Great Commission is rooted in the Great Commandment. It is a natural flow from the Great Commandment to the Great Commission. This is unique to the Bible. While it is somewhat hidden in the Old Testament, this truth is there that God loves all. Of course, it becomes crystal clear in the New Testament, especially in John 3:16. All of us know it by heart. For God so loved the world. He has no particular love for a particular community of people. He loves all. There are no high caste and low caste in his eyes. He loves all. And therefore, his children must love all. I summarize this central teaching in the seminary whenever I talk on it by repeating one sentence again and again. There is only one way to love God, and that is by loving others. There is only one way to serve God, and that is by serving others. This great truth is clearly taught by Christ in Matthew 25, and if you haven't read it lately, I encourage you read Matthew 25, 31 to 46 today. We don't have time to read it all today, but I'll quote two scriptures from there. If we love God, we will love others. And to serve God, we must serve others. Soap, soup, salvation. Matthew 25:14. And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it for me. Matthew 25:45. Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of these least of these, you did not do it to me. The Apostle John states it even more forcefully in 1 John 4:20 and 21. If anyone says, I love God and hates, hates anyone, he's a liar. He who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot. Pay attention to these words, please. Cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. So missions is the result of obeying the great commandment. Loving God, loving fellow human beings. And Booth understood it. And he tied it together most effectively in his generation. And it is this understanding that enabled us to go back to India. We were raised in India, my wife and I were raised in southern India. We are part of the community of Christians that is known as St. Thomas Christian Community. Very few in the West know about us. How many have heard of St. Thomas Christians in India? Yeah, a few of you have. Very few. Tradition is that St. Thomas the Apostle, whom we normally call Doubting Thomas, that's a very unfair title for him. Because all the apostles doubted, right? I mean, he was bold enough to speak his doubt out, that's all. So he gets stuck with that title, Doubting Thomas. He came to India according to the strong church tradition. Even Eusebius, the early church historian, mentions it. 52 AD, he was supposed to have come to my part of India. My part of India is the new name, the modern name is Kerala. Kerala means the land of coconuts. Very, very beautiful part of India. So we invite you, come and see Kerala. By the way, I told this to the first service also. Billy Graham refers to my home state as one of the most beautiful places he has ever seen. I don't think he has written that about Andover. So, and he has seen the world, right? Thomas came and baptized our forefathers. We are ready to die for that, you know. I was raised in that tradition. My wife also was raised in that tradition. And we ended up in the United States in the early 70s. We lived and worked in Southern California. Some of you know our story. And this conviction sent us to Northern India, which is completely different. India is not one country. It's many countries put together, many cultures, many languages, at least 450 plus languages. And according to Joshua Project, which I hope you're familiar with Joshua Project. If not, it's worth taking time to study that, their website. By the way, India is now the largest country in the world. In 2022, overtook China. And you can see there, 1.417 billion now over China. And according to Joshua Project, over 2,000 ethna, people groups, nations that do not have a church of their own still. And outside missionaries are no longer permitted in India. So the Lord gave us this desire to go and do something to train national Christians to serve the Lord. Not just in India, but in the Indian subcontinent, including Nepal, including Myanmar. And we began very humble with the help of folks like you. Started with just 22 trainees. And by God's grace and through a series of miracles, we have now become the largest Bible-believing interdenominational evangelical theological seminary in North India. God did it. You see, the principle is when you take a step of faith and obey him, he will do the rest. If I can teach you anything this morning, and this is nothing new, may I encourage you, maybe the Lord is calling you to do something for his kingdom. Every one of us must do. If we love God, we must love people. And if we love people, we must give them the greatest treasure we have. And what is the greatest treasure we have? It's Jesus. The greatest treasure each and every one of us possesses is Christ. And we cannot keep him for ourselves. We must. Oh, soap and soup are important. I don't want to deny it. That's why we do have a considerable humanitarian ministry as part of our ministry. We do serve through our schools now. We serve over 4,000 children, most coming from the so-called untouchable communities of India. That is important. Soap and soup are important. But we cannot stop with that. We must make the step, next step. That is sharing Christ. That is the core of the Great Commandment, from which the Great Commission comes naturally. And the Lord, once we took that step, the Lord began to do amazing things. There is a very important spiritual principle, which if I can summarize very quickly. When we do what we can, the Lord does what we cannot. Amen? I hope you're understanding me. When we do what we can, the Lord steps in and will do what we cannot. While he stood before the tomb of Lazarus, I've often wondered, why did he ask them to move the stone? He could have spoken one word, the stone would have moved, right? But he didn't do it. He said, move the stone. And moving the stone was foolishness. Martha expressed it clearly. And I love it in the old King James translation. Anybody remember what Martha said in the King James translation? He stinketh. He stinketh. It's been in there for 4 days. So moving the stone was foolishness. But who is giving the command? Who is giving the command? Chuck Colson has written a wonderful book. All of his books are wonderful. If you haven't read it, I hope you know who Chuck Colson is. Many of you know, right? Watergate. He's written a book called Loving God. If you haven't read it, read it. It's an old book. And in it, he says, I studied Bible from Genesis to Revelation, looking for this one, looking for one answer to the question, how can I love God? I want to love God. How can I love God? And that's how that book came into being. And his conclusion is, there's only one way to love God, and that's to obey him. It's to obey him. And, well, Jesus said it very plainly in John 14 and 15. If you love me, come on, help me. If you love me, you'll obey my commandments. Keep my commandments. And what is his commandment? We must love God and we must love others. We must love God and we must love others. And every one of us has that capacity. Otherwise, he would not have given us that command. And when we love others, we will share with them the greatest treasure we have, which is Christ. Aren't you glad the Lord didn't say, you are all my preachers? But the Lord did say, you are all my witnesses. What does a witness do? What does a witness do? Says what he or she knows. Shares what he or she has seen, heard. Oh, every one of us can do that. Every one of us can say, God is good. Every one of us can say, God bless you. I served as an executive with World Vision for a number of years in Southern California. I was in charge of their telecommunications operations. I was in charge of capturing the result of telethons that I'm sure many of you seen it in the 70s and 80s. World Vision had this long telethon, you know. Art Linkletter was in it. Julie Andrews was in it. Anybody remember that? Yeah, if you. And people will call us from all over the country. And we were responsible for capturing. We had 200-300 people working, taking calls. And once in a while, I'll sit and answer a call just to make sure everything was going okay. And I still remember a day when I took a call from a gentleman from Midwest, Bible Belt. I closed my call by saying, God bless you. That man almost cried on the phone. He said, you are the first one to tell me that. This Indian from South India had to come all the way to California to turn to this man in Missouri, God bless you. Do you say that? Or do you just talk about Boston Bruins? Nothing wrong in talking about Boston Bruins. But don't stop with that. Use it as an opportunity to be a witness. To be a witness. We all can be. They're hurting people all around us. Putting our hands on their shoulders and saying, "May I pray for you," can make a huge difference. Let's not be shy about Jesus. And the Lord blessed us when we took the step of faith. I'm not going to elaborately talk about it. We started very small, as I said. God incredibly blessed us. One of our first graduating classes, so small. And slowly the Lord began to do miracles. When we did what we could, He began to do what we could not. Miracle after miracle. I have written a whole book about it. And it's available on Amazon. I hope some of you will get it and read it for the glory of God. Our beautiful campus, it grew and grew, and now we are the largest theological seminary in all of India by enrollment. We have a school of music. We have a school of linguistics in which we are training Bible translators, because India still has scores of languages with no scripture translated into. And you can be a part of it by praying for us. You're already a part of it by helping us, and we are grateful to you. But the unreached are here too. That's the book. That's the book if you want to. If you know how to spell my last name, that's your, that, I'm the only one with that last name in the entire world of Amazon. And Amazon has thousands of books. So please get a copy of it, because I don't have time to tell you the innumerable miracles the Lord did. And documented, I have documented many of them in the book. Because God does it. When we take a step of faith, God will do it for the rest for His glory. Amen. I know you know it. I'm just here as a messenger to encourage you to continue to take steps of faith. Continue to be bold for Him. How our times need to hear Him again and again and again. Soap, soup, salvation. The whole gospel. And when we love Him, we will share the whole gospel with all that are around us. Will you ask the Lord this morning to give you grace to have a fresh understanding of the importance of others in the scheme of God's plan. Will you close your eyes with me? Father, we come before you with grateful heart, because we are blessed, because we have received this good news. But there are so many all around us, even here in Andover, who have not heard the gospel, and many obstacles standing in the way of them hearing the gospel, truly hearing the gospel. Will you use each of us for the glory of your name right here in the United States and then all across the globe? Help us to understand that you died for people. People are your supreme priority. And people are eternal. Either they will spend eternity with God in heaven or away from God. May we grasp the seriousness of the commission that you have given us. And may we do everything we possibly can to do what we can so that the kingdom will come and invade the lives of others. Thank you for FCC. Thank you for the motto of this church. And Lord, I pray that you give grace to every member to live that motto every day. Thank you for speaking to us. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to us. Thank you for praying for us. Especially pray for India as we are facing this crucial election. We have a few copies of our newsletter. I think Maureen has put it on the back desk there if you like to take it to get the spelling of my last name. It's in here. Thank you. God bless you.